Woman of Shunem saying, "It shall be well." My, those last lines of that hymn, "I shall be safe. I shall be safe." What confidence. And it's all because Christ, his superior power. We're going to commence this evening from Hebrews chapter 3. The book of Hebrews chapter 3, and we will be turning back to Deuteronomy. Last week we thought of the ladder, Christ as a mediator, the ladder, the one who links God and man. But here in Hebrews chapter 3, we're told in verse 3, Hebrews 3 verse 3, "For this man," that's Christ, "was counted worthy of more glory than Moses." For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Let's just bow in a short word of prayer. Our Father, as we turn now to thy word, we do pray for thy help. We pray, Lord, that we'd see more of the Lord Jesus Christ's great power, and that every true child of God tonight will be able to sing with confidence the words of this last hymn, that "I shall be safe, for Christ displays superior power." We thank thee for he who is greater than even the great prophet Moses, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Bless us now in our study, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I love verse 1 of this chapter. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Consider him. That's why we're here tonight. I trust that's why you've come. To consider the Lord Jesus Christ. The word means to perceive him, to set your mind upon him, to focus upon him. That's the purpose for which we're met. Now, in many pulpits today, that's not the real purpose for which they meet. Because in order to get a crowd, they will talk about man's needs, they'll focus in on self, on introspect, they'll talk about perceived needs of man, how to be happy, how to be this, how to do the other thing, and they're not really preaching Christ. As we're saying at the ordination and installation, we're preaching to emphasize to Mr. Higginson, he takes up the ministry in Coleraine, one of the points was, preach Christ, preach Christ. That's what sinners need, to hear about Christ. That's what saved people need, to hear about Christ. That's what people in trouble need to hear about Christ. We must preach Christ. You see, one thing that I never cease to be angry about is in some of these radio debates, and I must really take my hat off to the Reverend McElveen because he's so gracious in these programs, these debates. Some of us would lose our temper quicker, and of course that wouldn't be good. But the Lord really uses him in these debates and so on. But one thing really bothers me when you listen sometimes to the radio and you get some so-called educated person and they say, "Oh, well, I like to think of God like this." Or, "I like to think that Christ would have..." Or, "I like..." Who do we think we are? Who does puny man think they are of trying to create a God in our own image? This scripture reveals who God is. You see, Paul warned in 2 Corinthians 11 of people who would preach another Jesus, another gospel. Everyone who repeats the name Jesus isn't talking about the Christ of the Bible. There are people who talk about the name Jesus Christ and yet they deny his deity, they deny his virgin birth. That's not the Christ of the Bible. I love the story in a certain seminary in America where the lecturer was giving a lecture on theology and God, and he allowed the class to be open for a few minutes, and a young fellow in the class, he said, put up his hand, he says, "Well, you know, teacher, I like to think of God as omniscient, knowing everything, but not meddling. That he's just, but he's not nitpicky. He's sovereign, but he's not overbearing." The teacher let him talk and then stop and says, "All right, thank you, Bob, for your contribution, but we're not here to talk about what you think. And we're not here to talk about you. We're here to talk about God, so we're going to get back to the Bible now." We're here tonight to open up this Bible, because it's this Bible that tells us who Christ is. It's this Bible that tells us about him. And I'm saying that people today can distort the scripture. You see, the Islam faith, the Muslims, and even some other faiths, if you meet them, if you talk about Jesus Christ, they'll say, and I remember talking not to a Muslim but to another faith one day in Banbridge in the street, one of these Hare Krishna people, and he talked about, we have a great respect for Jesus Christ. My, he's a great prophet, just like Moses and Muhammad and Baha'i or someone. And he's I said, no. No. Jesus Christ said, I am God. I am. He's far above Moses. Of course, he didn't like that. Oh, no. He's just a prophet equal to Moses. Well, tonight we have read our text that this man, Christ, he's more glorious than Moses. Far more glorious than Moses. Last week, we thought about Jacob and the ladder to heaven. And we pictured that ladder that stretched from earth to heaven as a picture, an illustration to the Old Testament people. That one day a person would come who would be the Redeemer, Deliverer, who would be able to take sinful man right from this earth and bring us right into the presence of a holy God. You call that a mediator, a go-between. Now, who wrote that chapter? Moses. But tonight what I want to emphasize is this. Moses not only wrote many pictures and prophecies about the coming Redeemer. Remember, they were living when Moses wrote 1,500 years before Christ came. And more God was revealing the person who was going to come. We thank God he has come, but remember that when you read the Old Testament. The Old Testament is full of Christ. Some Christians hardly read the Old Testament. And they miss considering Christ. They miss considering him. I'm saying tonight that Moses not only wrote many pictures about Christ, but he was in himself. Moses himself, when you study his life, is a wonderful illustration of the Savior. And in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses said that to the people. I don't turn to all the verses. But if you read Deuteronomy, sometimes it's a book that's almost forgotten by believers, but it's so full of Christ. When Christ was tempted, he quoted from Deuteronomy. Full of Christ. And Moses told the people, there's going to be somebody come who will be like me, but he'll be greater. I'm saying that Moses is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at chapter 3 of Hebrews, it says, consider Christ as an apostle. You know Moses was an apostle. An apostle is someone who is sent on a mission. Moses was sent on a mission by God, chosen by God to bring God's people out of Israel and set them free from Egypt. The Lord Jesus Christ was chosen by God to go into this world and to take a people for his name out of the bondage of the Egypt of this world. Do you know somebody, I can't remember if it's maybe Arthur Pink, has listed over 70 similarities between Moses and Christ. I'm not going to even list them all tonight. Wouldn't have time. But you know, their births were similar. They were both born when a Gentile power ruled over the people of God. Do you know when they were both born, wicked kings tried to put them to death when they were still babies? Herod and Pharaoh. Do you know that when Moses was born, he was called exceeding fair? The childhood of Moses was, of course, spent in Egypt. So was Christ's. Where did Christ grow up in his early life? Egypt. Joseph fled to Egypt. He was rejected. Both were rejected by their brethren. Both were commissioned by God. Both performed great miracles to authenticate that they were God's prophets. They both announced solemn judgment. They were both envied and rejected by their brethren. They both had great sorrows. They both had wonderful forgiving spirit. They both were great men of prayer. Christ greater, of course, but Moses was a great man of prayer. Meekness. Moses was very meek. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am meek and lowly. Both were faithful. Both of them appointed 70 men to help them. Remember, the Lord chose the 70. Moses appointed 70. Their great wisdom, their great might. They both fasted, of course, for 40 days. There's another thing. So I'm saying that there's wonderful similarities, but I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 5, because this is the similarity between Moses. Remember, we're saying these Old Testament chapters of the Bible were setting forth, God was teaching the people who would come. And I'm saying that Moses not only wrote prophecies of Christ, but he himself is a picture of Christ. And here's how. In Deuteronomy 5, verse 5, look what Moses said. I stood between the Lord and you at that time. I stood between the Lord and you. He was a mediator. The children of Israel were camped at Sinai, and God came down in a cloud above the mountain, and they were afraid. They realized God was holy. They realized they couldn't approach unto God. They realized that they were sinful, and they were afraid. God's going to destroy us because we're sinners. How can we approach unto God? But you know what happened? Moses stood between God and them. That's what it says here. I stood between you. He went into God's presence up the mount. He spoke with God. God spoke with him. Moses came down and revealed God's word to the people. He was a go-between. He was a mediator. A mediator. And that's what you and I need. When you begin to realize through the word of God that we're sinners, we realize that we cannot approach into the presence of the thrice holy God that's surrounded by the cherubim in heaven. We can't. We can't. That's a lesson people need to learn today. The holiness of God, the justice of God, we can't approach onto him. We need a go-between. We need a mediator. That's what that term means. We need somebody who can touch God for us and yet touch us. And that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Moses is an illustration of Christ. He was a mediator for the nation of Israel. Now, Moses is about to die. Who's going to take on that task? Well, I'll not have time tonight, but you read chapter 17 and 18 of Deuteronomy. You know what you find? You'll find there's a section about kings. Moses said, after I'm gone, one day there'll be kings appointed. You see, what was a king in Israel? A king ruled the people under God. He was a mediator, a go-between between God and the people. And then he talked about priests. What's a priest? A priest is someone who's a go-between the people and God. And then he spoke in chapter 18 from verse 18 about prophets. And you know in Israel, there were kings, there were priests, and there were prophets. Usually we say it in the order of prophet, priest, and king. Three offices. And do you know, never again in the nation of Israel did one man do all three. Do you remember there was a king called King Uzziah, and he got proud, and he went into the temple one day and he said, I'm going to go into the holy place and offer. And he was warned, you're not a priest. You can't. He went in. God struck him with leprosy. Because never again did any man occupy all three offices. You say, but who did? Moses did. Moses did. We're going to see that that's the message tonight. Moses was a prophet to the people. He was a king to the people. He was a priest to the people. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our prophet, our priest, and our king. That's what the book of Deuteronomy is emphasizing. Moses tells them, there's going to be somebody come, and he'll be just like me. And all through the Old Testament, the people were waiting anxiously that one day the perfect one would come, who would be like Moses, but he'd be greater than Moses, and would bring a greater deliverance than even that from out of Egypt. Now, we sing about Christ, we talk about Christ, but you need to always remember that that is not a name as such for Christ. It's a title. It's a title. His name at his birth given was Jesus, or Old Testament Joshua. Same name. One Greek, one Hebrew. But same, exactly the same name. Christ is a title. We say Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, but we could also say Jesus the Christ. Messiah is the Hebrew form for anointed. When we say Christ, or Christos as it was in the Greek, we're saying the anointed one. You see, in the Old Testament, all through in the nation of Israel, priests
were anointed at age 30 to enter into the ministry of a priest. Kings had to be anointed. Prophets were anointed. You see, Moses was looking forward to the day when he, who is the specially anointed one, Christ, would come. And thank God he's come. And now the writer in Hebrews is saying, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ, he's the anointed one, and he's far, far greater than Moses. And in our shorter catechism that we teach the boys and girls, what offices does Christ execute as our Redeemer? The offices of a prophet, a priest, and a king. Now, what's this all about? Moses, a prophet, priest, and king to the people. Well, chapter 18, verse 15. Of Deuteronomy, sorry, this is Deuteronomy. Chapter 18, verse 15. Look what Moses says. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. Do you know that's quoted in the book of Acts chapter 2 as referring to Christ? Chapter 3, Peter preached that. He said that it's been fulfilled after Christ rose from the dead. And the early church, you know what the message, and we're speaking to Jews who knew the Old Testament. Here's was his sermon. He said, men, fellow Jews, Moses' prophecy in Deuteronomy has been answered. He's come. The one of whom Moses wrote, the greater than Moses, he's already come. And you crucified him, but he's alive and he's a far greater prophet. And thank God tonight, when we consider Christ, we have a great prophet. We have one. What does it mean to be a prophet? Someone who can tell us God's word. You see, unless we have somebody to come and tell us God's word, we won't know what his message is. There's so many messages today, people claiming to be of God. We need a prophet. God, who at sundry times and in divers, that means diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. It is Hebrews I'm quoting from, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Christ is the great prophet. We have everything in this book. He is the prophet. He's greater than Moses. And he all the signs. Now, how is he greater than Moses? Two things, his intimacy. Do you know Moses was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament? Because he went up to the mount for 40 days and he spoke to God face to face as friend to friend. People couldn't go, but he went right into the presence of God. In fact, his face shone when he came back down again. And God spoke to him and God showed him the plan of redemption in the tabernacle. But the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than Moses. Because he is the fullness of the glory of the Godhead bodily. He is the eternal Son. He is far closer to God because he is God than Moses ever could be. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Our prophet is far greater than Moses. So the writer to Hebrews is saying this, why would you go back to the Old Testament times? Christ is greater because of his intimacy. He's a greater prophet because of his authority. Now Moses had great authority. Do you remember there other men tried to usurp that authority and God struck them dead? They said, who made you the ruler and so on? Moses was God's chosen prophet to lead the people and to teach the people. He went up to the mount, brought the Ten Commandments, told the people the laws, the statutes and so on. But the Lord Jesus Christ has greater authority. Oh, I know Moses could say, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. And he was speaking on behalf of God. That's what a prophet does. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I say unto you. I say unto you. He is the truth. He not only speaks the truth. He is the truth. That's what the people, when they heard Christ preach, they said, this man speaks with authority. He has great authority. I say unto you. What does that mean, you have a prophet? It means everything Christ says is absolutely true. It's God's word. And when Christ says you need to be born again, you need to be born again. And when Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest, he means what he says. When he says in this to the people, and it's still true, that if you come unto him, he'll never cast you out. Will you just come and obey him? Because he's the prophet. We don't need any more. It means when you know him as Savior and you have a difficulty and a problem, go and tell it to Jesus. That was a story we told on Wednesday night at the prayer meeting. You go and tell him. You tell him. Talk to him about it. I teach in the college, and one of the lectures, some of the lectures we do is in guidance, and I know there are principles of guidance and we go into them over some weeks, how to be guided by the Lord, but I usually start by telling the students that guidance is not a set of rules for the Christian. It's a relationship with the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. And a young man in a church went to an older believer, an elderly saint in the church, and said to him, there's this thing in my life and I'm just wondering what God's will is. How do I find out God's will? And the older man just looked at him and said, well, I'd ask him. I'd ask him. We can come to our prophet and ask him. But not only was Moses a great prophet, you know Moses was a priest. Maybe you didn't realize that, but turn to Psalm 99 just to prove that to you. We don't usually think of Moses as a priest, but he was. Oh, he was a priest, all right. Psalm 99, verse 6. Moses and Aaron among his priests. You say, but I thought Aaron, his brother, was made the priest and his sons after him. That's right. But Moses was a priest before Aaron was. Moses was a priest. In fact, Jewish people call Moses the priest of priests. How was Moses a priest? Well, two things. He sacrificed to God. Didn't we read that over in Hebrews 9? Moses offered sacrifices for the people after the law had been given and the people realized they'd broken it. How could they have a covenant with God? And in Exodus 24, he gathered the people together and he offered a sacrifice. And you didn't know what he did? He took hyssop, the plant, and he took a basin with blood and he sprinkled the book. That's where the law was written. And he sprinkled the altar with a sacrifice and he sprinkled the people. And then later on we read it in Hebrews that when the tabernacle was opened, dedicated, he sprinkled all the tabernacle. Moses did it, but he's a priest. He applied the blood of the sacrifice to the people, identifying them with the sacrifice that had been made. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ, the greater priest, did. Because he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and he applies the victory and value of his precious blood to all who come to him. Have you had the blood applied? Moses was a great priest for the people in the great sacrifices he offered. But Lord Jesus Christ has more glory than Moses because he made the perfect sacrifice on Calvary. Not the blood of beasts, but his own precious blood. Moses was a priest because he sacrificed for the people and he supplicated for the people. That's what a priest did. Prayed for the people. Remember how Moses prayed for the people? God said they deserved to be destroyed. And Moses sought to pray. In fact, one place Moses said this, when God said, if you want Moses, I'll destroy all the people and I'll make a nation of you. And Moses got before the Lord and he said, oh Lord, no. Lord, blot me out of the book. But let the nation live. Now Moses meant it. What a priest. Remember, I stood between you and God. And there's Moses in prayer, supplicating for the people before God. Lord, don't destroy these people. Lord, blot me out instead. But the Lord Jesus Christ is more glorious than Moses, for Moses couldn't take the place of the people. But the Lord Jesus Christ took the curse for us because he's the great priest. He stood between God and me. You see, it's as if the wrath and judgment of God was about to fall. And it was. I shouldn't say it's as if it was. The wrath and judgment of God was going to fall on Ron Johnson and upon you. But I have a great priest far greater than Moses. And that priest, as it were, stood in between the holiness, the wrath, the perfect judgment of God that was about to fall upon me, and the great priest greater than Moses stood between God and me and said, "Yes, Ron Johnson's a sinner and he deserves to be separated from God's love and all eternity in hell, but I'm his mediator. I'm standing in his place. I'm standing between God's judgment and Ron Johnson." And if you're a Christian, you can say the same tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ is greater than Moses as a prophet, because he spoke with authority. He had intimacy, because he was God and is God. He's greater in his priesthood. Greater because he sacrificed a greater sacrifice than Moses, and the supplication is greater. And those who know the Lord tonight, you're saved, and you're safe, and you can say it's well with your soul. Why? Because a greater than Moses has gone up to the holy mount. Moses went up to the mount to pray with the people, but Christ has gone higher, and he's praying for us. One last one. Do you know Moses was a king? You say, "Well, I don't read that in Scripture." Well, you do, actually. Over, and I'll not turn to it, our time is going quickly, but over in the book of Deuteronomy 35, it says, "King in Jeshurun." And many commentators believe that's reference to Moses. Many believe it's reference to Moses. But Moses was a king in this sense. In the book of Acts 7, when Stephen preached, do you know what he said? Acts 7:35. God sent Moses to be a ruler. Isn't that what a king is? To be a ruler and a deliverer. You see, Moses was a king because Moses ruled over the people. That's what a king does, rule. He ruled over the nation of Israel for those years. He came into Egypt and he became a ruler of the people and he delivered them out of Egypt. And you see, as our catechism teaches, the Lord Jesus Christ is our king. And he subdues us unto himself and all our enemies. What does that mean? Do you know our greatest enemy is ourselves? Our greatest enemy is us. It's inside. We, the real you. We were bound for hell. We had no thought of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ came and he subdued us. He made us willing to trust him. He made us willing to turn from our sins. And he delivered us from ourselves. Then he delivered us from our enemies, just as Moses delivered the people out of Egypt, out of their enemies, their taskmasters who were seeking to put them to death. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is a greater than Moses, for he subdued the enemies of Satan and sin. And he's brought us into perfect liberty. And he's the great king and head of his church. Greater than Moses. Moses was a ruler over a great nation, Israel. He ruled them under God. He was the go-between. Of course it was God that ruled over them, but he ruled over them through Moses, his mediator, his go-between, the one who stood between them and God. But we're saying, in the words of Hebrew, Jesus Christ is more glorious because he rules over his great kingdom, the church. Do you know Moses had a rod? I've often read of Moses' rod. Do you know the same word is used for our Saviour in Psalm 110 verse 2? "The Lord shall send a rod of thy strength out of Zion. Thou shalt rule in the midst of thine enemies." Moses had a rod. That was the sign of his authority to rule. And it says the coming Messiah will have a rod. That rod of iron, it says in one place. The Lord rules. He's king. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And do you know something interesting? And no, I don't go into it and turn to them, but you can look it up in the book of Revelation. Remember the seven plagues? You look sometime and trace them to the book of Revelation. You find the very similar plagues in the book of Revelation. Why? Jesus Christ is the greater king, and he overrules and destroys the wisdom of this world. The enemies of Moses were defeated at the Red Sea when Moses lifted up his rod. Can you see him? Doesn't he look like a king? If you can imagine the picture. The enemy soldiers are coming. The people of God have just passed through. And what does Moses do? It says he lifted up his rod and the waters came tumbling over the enemy and destroyed them. But you know, there's a greater than Moses, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he destroys all his and the church's enemies. The nation of Israel gathered on the far side of the Red Sea when the enemies were destroyed, and they sang a song of victory, Exodus 15. Do you know, in the book of Revelation 15, you'll read that when the people of God camp on the other side in eternity, we'll sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb, that all his enemies are destroyed. Oh, there's a great similarity between Moses and Christ. Moses was a king in Israel. He was a ruler in Israel, and he had a great rod. And I'm saying the Lord Jesus Christ is a far, far greater king. He's a prophet. He's a priest. He's a king. That's why he can be the Savior. Christ is greater than Moses as a prophet. His intimacy. His authority. And what he says in this book, and that's why we can preach the gospel with confidence tonight and tell you that if you'll come to Christ as Savior, he'll not cast you away. He'll save you. You can depend upon him tonight. Because he's a great prophet, and what he says is true. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. He's the perfect priest who made a perfect sacrifice for sin, and his perfect supplication. That's why those who come to him are kept. He's the perfect king who rules, who reigns with a rod. You know, sometimes, you ever hear somebody saying, what's all this happening in the world? Or why is this happening? Or what's the world coming to? Or what's happening in the world? Well, I can sum it up very simply. God is working all things out to his glory and to his people's good. That's what's happening in the world. Now, I can't explain how it's for his people's good and his glory yet, because the end's not yet. But all that happens in this world, the prophet, priest and king that we worship tonight, he's on the throne of glory. And he overrules in the kingdoms of men. And everything that happens in this world is under his command. You look at the affairs of the world and you say, sometimes even Christians get discouraged and depressed. What's going to happen? What's happening in the world? Here's what's happening in the world. Our great king is overruling everything for his glory, for his people's eternal good. But the question as I finish is this. Is he your king? Is he your prophet? Is he your priest? And I quote one verse and I finish. It's the book of, if I just find it, Hebrews chapter 10. Listen what it says in verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. That's Hebrews 10. That's when Moses was the mediator for Israel. I stood between you and God. Whoever despised Moses' law, Hebrews 10:28, died without mercy. But remember, Jesus Christ is more glorious. So verse 29, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done this fight unto the Spirit of grace. What the writer is saying is this. Moses was a great prophet. He was a great mediator who led the people of Israel. And the people in the nation despised Moses and said, I'll not have God's chosen mediator. Remember Korah, Dathan, Abiram, other rebels. They said, we'll not come through Moses. We'll come our own way to God. And God struck them dead. And it's saying, any Israelite in those 40 years who refused to acknowledge that Moses was God's chosen mediator and would not go through Moses and listen to him as the prophet, priest and king, God destroyed them. And the point is made, how much more severe will it be to the person who hears that Jesus Christ is the perfect mediator, greater than Moses, and yet despises him. His message, his sacrifice, his kingship. Oh, tonight, come to the mediator. Come to Christ. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son, the only mediator between God and man.